Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for sermons, Father God, that confront sinners. Then, Father God, all of us in here who are saved, Father God, we easily can relate to the Ninevites because we were in the city of Nineveh when you called us. So, Father God, we pray right now that the message would go out into all the Ninevehs of this world and that folks would hear the word of God. Father, thank you in advance for your mighty work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Nineveh. How many of us been to Nineveh?
Amen.
How many of us partied in Nineveh?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Claire used to tell me how she wore the mini skirts in Nineveh. Nineveh was a fun time for a lot of us. A lot of folks going to Nineveh today. After they leave church, some folks going to Nineveh. Some folks have folks in Nineveh be texting them, asking them, is church over today? And you'll text them back, say, well, the choirs didn't sing, so we're going to get out early. Is you're going to get out earlier than normal, so I'll see you in Nineveh, downtown Nineveh. Nineveh was a great city. The word of God said it was a great city, and it was great in a lot of ways. It had great architects, and it was a great wall there. And they said two or three chariots could ride the walls. And it was a prosperous city, and it was the biggest city of that day. A great city, God said. But it also was a great place of sin. A great place of sin. And we know the story. And Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah didn't want to go. But I believe as I studying Jonah this long, I believe God had the right man. God knew if he went, he was going to be confrontational. And Jonah hated Nineveh. He hated the Ninevites. He hated everything Nineveh stood for. But you don't hear Jonah saying, why are you sending me? He just said, I ain't want to go. I'm not going. He refused to go. And the Bible says that when he got the call the first time, he got on the ship headed for Tarshish. He was going west and God called him to go east. And we know the word of God says, as far as the east is from the west, Jonah wasn't planning on going at all. He had no intentions of going. But God is the God of second chances. I think Peter was asking the Lord in the book of Matthew, he said, how many times should I forgive my brothers? Seven times? And Peter probably was at six. And the word of God says, and Jesus said, no, seven times 70. Seven times 70. And some of us in here, if God was only a God of second chance, we'd have been out of luck.
Amen.
Dare me use the word. We'd have been in trouble. Some of us have been given second chances on the day.
Uh-huh.
On the day. Because God is a God of second chances.
Amen.
So what's happening here? The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of God says a second time, saying to Jonah, You need to go to Nineveh and be confrontational. You need to go to Nineveh and be provoking. You need to go to Nineveh and meet those Ninevites head on with the word of God. I think about this, and a lot of people come to church and say, the pastor was, he was just pointing his finger, and he was just going after me, and he was just hitting me, and he was using the pulpit to bully people. Let me tell you something. Every time I see the pastor, I don't see him often. Maybe once every couple years, I'll see Pastor Merrill from up in Warren. I may see him at the mall. I think I've seen him at the mall. I've seen him at the flea market. And you know, every time I see him, I go over to him and shake his hand and give him a hug and thank him for being confrontational. I thank him. And you know what? And when I do, he almost just melts. Because most preachers feel that all the time. You're always in people's business, always people's business. No, I thank God that he was in my business. Matter of fact, it was the greatest day in my life. It was the greatest day of my life. And y'all know my testimony. Cindy and I was going through. And I was doing what I wanted to do. Cindy was going through more than me. But I didn't think I was going through. I was just doing me as a young boy. So I'm just being me. So I'm being me, and that means you lost. Amen. Anytime you tell somebody, I'm just doing what I want to do, you know you're talking to a lost person. Okay? Folks, if you talk to somebody and say, I don't know what I'm doing, you talk to a lost person. Saved folks know what they're doing. They know where they're heading. And I'm talking about true saved folks. Amen. There's some saved folks in here don't know what they're doing. So they say they're saved. They don't have a clue. Yep. Okay? But this man preached a message that Sunday. No, wasn't Sunday, excuse me. It was a funeral. He went to preach a message at a funeral. A man that I didn't even know. And confronted me. And I didn't get on social media. I didn't call nobody and say, man, this preacher is just talking about me. I needed that. I needed to hear what he had to say. Because it was life-changing. It was life-changing. Imagine this. Imagine if someone told you, someone came to you that you knew was sent from God and said to you, all your family, everybody you know and love will be dead in 40 days. Think about that. Think about if somebody came to you and said, what, 40 days from now, 18, 40 days, July what, 30th? Am I close? July 15th, 30 days, 40 days. All your peoples will be gone and dead. How would you respond? How would you respond? If somebody came to Jake and Jack, got them little noisy babies over there, they busy, you want to see them grow up, and you hear that a messenger from God had came to Camel, Ohio, and said all Camel will be overthrown in 40 days. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way that you carry yourself. It's going to change the way you talk to folks. And then imagine you hesitated a little while. And then somebody passed away. This is what the Ninevites faced when Jonah came on the scene, because God gave him a word. And he said, Jonah, I know you hate these Ninevites. God knew Jonah hated these Ninevites. And Jonah would have been happy to tell them, in 40 days, all y'all going to be gone. And I'm going to be glad. In 40 days, all y'all going to be gone. And I'm going to be happy. That's what Jonah, that was the message God gave Jonah. Wasn't real deep. One real, you know, doctrinal and all that. You got all these preachers now, they got their degrees in psychology. Yeah. You know, they got degrees in philosophy, and they got their degrees in sociology, and you go to most churches, and it's like, It's like you going to a mental health facility. You know, well, we don't preach about your bitterness and your anger and your... No, preach the gospel.
Amen.
Preach the word of God to these folks first. Jonah was given that task. And he said, go to Nineveh. God told Jonah, watch this now. He said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. What is it to preach? I have to say this anymore because a lot of folks really don't understand preaching. It's not philosophizing.
Amen.
It's not talking social talk. It's not. And I'm not going to get up here and worry about whether the godless councilman of Youngstown approved marijuana growth in Youngstown.
Amen.
I don't worry about that stuff, honestly. Okay? Marijuana growth is the least of my problems. Okay? Because if I had the control over that, I'd stop all the Budweiser trucks from coming to Youngstown. To me, that's a bigger problem. But you know what? The word of God says to the preacher, preach.
Amen.
Preach. Exhort and prophesy. You know what preaching really is? Reproving. Calling folk out. And we don't like doing that. We don't like doing that. I didn't like getting called out. I said, this man calling me out. But in the end, when God moved on me through his message,
that was true.
I was better for it.
Amen.
I was better for it. We start talking about preaching. Paul, when he talked to Timothy, he said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire what? A good work. That word work mean what? A good labor. A good duty. A good task. I got Ray 3 days in a row. Now he's starting to feel it now. He in the Air Force cadet program. And he up at 6:30. We had to get him into the Air Force base at 6:15. And he there till about 6 o'clock. Marching and walking and doing work, and he coming home crashing out. I say, see, that's a good work.
Amen.
That's getting you ready for something. See, the man of God, when you sign up for this, you sign up for a good work. No days off.
That's right.
Amen. Ain't no weeks off. No, it's a good work. It's a good work. Preaching is work. Jonah was being called to do a work. He was being called to do a work in Nineveh. Stay with me, people. How do you get ready for this? You can say what you want to say about Jonah. And I know we all have different opinions because Jonah's popular. Folks know Jonah. You know, you start talking about Bible characters. Folks know Jonah. Oh, that's the guy that was disobedient. They threw him over the ship and a whale swallowed him and they spit him out and he was told to go to preach and people in Nineveh got saved. But before that, Jonah had some word in him. Jonah knew the word. And I said that when he prayed out of the bellies of the whale, he prayed back the scriptures to God. Everything he said, if you read chapter 2 of Jonah, was based on the Psalms, was based on scripture. He had some word in him.
Amen.
Okay? So if God's going to use you to go out and be a Jonah type, you got to have some word in you. You got to have some word in you. How you get some word in you? You got to take it in. You got to take some word in. Jonah had some word. I mean, you're going to preach. And again, if you got a degree in psychology and you didn't spend 10 years in college studying psychology, or you didn't spend 10 years in college with your sociology degree, what you think going to happen? It's going to come out of you. It's going to come out of you. I've been in church a long time now, and yet have I met anyone who inspired young children to go to Bible college. I don't even know if you guys know anybody. If you guys know anybody, any man of God, any woman of God who said, you know what, I want my son to go to Bible college. We sit in Ohio State, Michigan, Youngstown State, Akron, and you know what they learning? How to party. They come back alphas, capitals. Handful of babies. Jonah got some word in him. How did he get in him? Let me share something with you. I know I'm all over the place. Here's Jeremiah. And again, you're going to preach. I'm just talking about preach just a little bit. Jeremiah 15. You guys familiar with this? He says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. That's the work of preaching. Folks don't want to hear it. How many people did Jeremiah say? He ain't had no big mega church neither. But he has a word in him. Watch what he says here. He said, the words were found. What words? The word of God. And I did eat them. And the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know what Jeremiah found? He found the words to be sweet to him. He found the words to be sweet to him. Ezekiel, same thing. Same thing with this other man of God here, Ezekiel. He got his word. He got some word. And the Bible said he did eat them. Jonah was going to Nineveh. And you think the Ninevites was going to be happy to see Jonah? These was killers. These were warrior people. You know what God told Jonah to do? Same thing he told Ezekiel to do in Ezekiel chapter 2. He said, thou son of man, be not afraid of them. Preaching ain't never been easy. Yeah. Preaching ain't never been easy. We make it easy now. Preachers so smooth. They so smooth. We like them so much, we buy them big old cars and houses and give them big salaries. How many of y'all know that ain't God's way?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that ain't God's way? But we do. They so smooth, we pay all their bills. But we make life wonderful for these preachers. Why would God say this to Ezekiel? He said, be not afraid of them. Does this sound like people that's gonna take care of you, pay all your bills? Does it sound like Ezekiel had that kind of congregation? Neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, be not dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house.
Amen.
That's the word of God. Somebody said, I never heard that before. No, because preachers ain't going to preach this to you.
Amen.
And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Watch this now. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. There's a responsibility that go with preaching. Preachers have to be strong and mighty and bold and confrontational. And a lot of folks I talk to a lot of preachers, you know what I hear? They beat around the bush.
Uh-huh.
They compromise. They want to make it easy. They don't want to offend nobody.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to offend nobody. They want everybody to go home and be happy with them. And they want to be liked. I talk to the supervisors on my job, and I say, you know what? If you want to be a good supervisor, everybody ain't going to like you.
That's right.
You can forget it. You can forget it. If you want to be a good quality assurance person, everybody ain't going to like you. Especially folks who work ain't where it should be.
Uh-huh.
Paul and Barnabas. Paul ended up getting his head cut off. Stoned. Left for dead. Wrote 2/3 of the Bible, the greatest preacher God used in the New Testament. Watch what Paul said. Now, I say this because Jonah, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach. He said, go to Nineveh and preach. And you know what? We got Ninevehs all around us.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah. You can sit here and say that Boardman is Nineveh. Austintown is Nineveh. Mm-hmm. Youngstown is Nineveh. Liberty is Nineveh. Girard is Nineveh. Canfield is Nineveh. It's Nineveh's all around us. Chicago is Nineveh.
Amen.
Detroit is Nineveh. Pittsburgh is Nineveh. San Francisco is Nineveh. And hear what Paul said in Acts 13:46. And then said Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Waxed bold. You know that word wax means they were confident. And they spake out boldly. They waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you.
Amen.
But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Listen. God's man has to be bold. And I don't think this was an issue with Jonah. Because he knew the Psalms. He knew the Psalms so well, and he understood what David went through so well. I don't think the issue was cowardice with Jonah. It was just rebellious. He was just rebellious. Listen. Y'all know this one. I don't have to give you the title to it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Watch this now, Jonah. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David had issues, this great man of God. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident? One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I will what? Dwell in the house of God. Folks, preaching. People say, I want to hear some preaching. I hear you guys always say, I want to hear some preaching. I come here, Pastor, preach the word. Listen. What were they preaching in the Old Testament? How did folks get saved in the Old Testament? What would have been Jonah's message to Nineveh in the Old Testament? We understand the New Testament because we more like New Testament people. We understand, for by grace are you saved through faith and not yourself. This is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. But what was the Old Testament way of salvation? Because Jonah had a message of salvation. He said it in the whale's belly. Salvation is of the Lord. So what would have been the message of salvation in the Old Testament? What would Jonah have said to these folks? Yeah, he'd have been saying repent. How did he say it? I'm gonna get there. But here's the message of the Old Testament. It didn't change. David said this in Psalms 32:1. And we familiar with this. Blessed is he whose what? Transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You need your sins covered in the Old Testament just like you do now.
Amen.
And when Jonah went to Nineveh, he was basically saying to the Ninevites, your sins is uncovered. And if you don't cover them in 40 days, guess what? And I believe he was like gloating. Y'all ain't right. You got 40 days. And I believe Jonah was banking that they wouldn't get himself together. That's why he said he was so upset when God saved all them Ninevites. He said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity. How about that? How did God do it? They in the Old Testament had a day of atonement, where the priest would come and go into the Holy of Holies, and they put a string on most of the priests. They go in there, and he would pray for the people that all their sins would be forgiven. But guess what? Before he went in there, what happened to him? He had to be clean. They anointed his feet. They anointed his hand. They anointed his ears. They touched everything on him, and then they set him in there. What was Jonah's message? I thought it was interesting. It wasn't, like I say, it wasn't real deep. But certain things he said in that message meant something. You know what he said? He says this, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know what that meant? They know what 40 days meant. They know what 40 days meant. God had already prepared what? A whale for Jonah. He prepared a storm for Jonah. He prepared a gourd for Jonah. God was preparing stuff. What did he do in 40 days? Think about it now. 40 days he prepared enough rain. He had prepared enough rain to do what? Flood this whole earth and kill everything off. Save Noah and his seven family members. Count him eight. 40 days God allowed. You know what? I thought this was interesting. I started studying 40 days. You know, God allowed Goliath 40 days. 40 days to run his mouth while he was preparing David. How did he prepare David? David said, I killed a lion and a bear. You know why he was doing that? Goliath had 40 days. Goliath had 40 days to talk his stuff. Watch this down. I'm going to show you this. Samuel 17:16. It says, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So when Jonah went into Nineveh and said, 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Them Ninevites knew. They knew 40. Okay? Now, like the young boy, you say 40, they think of something else. See? You say 40, the young brother 40, they think of Michelob Light or something. That's how guys like young people are messed up. We ain't not teaching them. We teach them psychology. And you know, when you teach people psychology and you teach them philosophy and you teach them sociology, guess what they don't need? They don't need the Lord. They need a psychiatrist and a doctor. Anybody ever try to get a kid to a psychiatrist? Now, if you want to do this on your spare time, because I'm familiar with being in foster care, just call a psychiatrist. Call Belmont Pines and ask Belmont Pines, say, I need to bring my kid in to see a psychiatrist. You know what Belmont Pines going to tell you? 3 or 4 months. That's how long the line is. That's how long the waiting list is. Call Belmont Pines. Let's do it. They secretaries ain't doing nothing. Just call them and say, you know what, my son, I need to bring him in to see a psychiatrist. And they're going to tell you August. And this psychiatrist is making $250 an hour. And you know what? Probably a church-going folks got their kids lined up to seek a psychiatrist. Because they that's all they've been preached. Did you hear the word of God? I'm saying this. I say it all the time. We know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Can't stop lying. Can't stop fighting. Can't stop cussing. Can't stop eating. Can't stop drinking. Can't stop fornicating. Can't stop doing nothing. 40 days. 40 days. Let me give you one more. 40 days. You know, Elijah fled from Jezebel after he did a great miracle with the Baal worshippers. You know what the Bible says? He traveled 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb. Moses, 40 days would have meant something to Moses. 40 would have meant something to Moses. Why? Because he was in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. How long did the people walk around in the wilderness? 40 years. So when Jonah said 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, they knew what he meant. They knew what he meant. They knew what he meant. We talk about boldness in preaching. Jonah went into Nineveh, preached the word of God. Folks heard it. Folks heard it. We don't want to hear it. Church don't want to hear it, and church is in trouble because we don't want to hear it. Amen. It's in a world of trouble because we don't want to hear it. And nobody don't want to hear it. Because they think the preachers are fools. to preach the word of God. That's why the preachers are trying to be some cool now. They're trying to fit in. God's servants don't have those options. I don't have those choices. And I know people say, "Ah, Pastor, you making people mad and you running people out of the church." I don't make the rules.
Amen. God's church.
I honestly don't. And I know some folks don't agree with everything, but you know what? Paul says this. He said, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Some folks too smart to follow God. Some folks know too much. You ever talk to that kind of person? They know everything. They know everything. And if you tell them something about God, they look at you like you're a fool. They look at you like you sit there and quote a scripture, and they look at you like a fool. But you know what the word of God said? That same verse, 1 Corinthians 1:21. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Preaching. Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. Pastor Neil, go to Eastside and preach. I don't even know who here. It's not my job. Amen. He told me to go and what? Preach the word. John the Baptist came doing what? Preaching. John the Baptist showed up on the scene. He came to the scene preaching what? Repentance. What did God require the Ninevites to do? Repent. He gave them 40 days to repent. Think about it. What's that mean to you? What's that mean to you? When you go out today and be with your family, maybe it's Father's Day. Maybe Father's Day is a bad day for you. Father's Day not a good day for everybody. Mother's Day not a good day for everybody. Okay, everybody have a good mother. Everybody have a good father. Okay? But when you're around folks, when you leave here and you be around folks and you hear a message of desperation, and this Jonah's message was a message of desperation, and you're around your folks that you know lost, that you know don't care about the things of God, what's your message to them? What do you say to them? What do you say to them? Because everybody think the work of the preaching is just the preacher. So when the preacher give it to the congregation, what do you do with a message like that? When you're around godless folks, when you know your kid is on the way to hell, when you know your brother that you say you love, or your nephew that you say you love, or your niece that you say you love, or your grandbaby that you say you love, and you know they, based on what you believe. Or do you live like you believe it? Do your kids really believe that you believe it? Do your grandkids really believe that you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe this message? Or is it just something we do? Do we like it smooth? We like it smooth, and you know, we gonna find us a smooth preacher. He's not so offensive. I hear that stuff. Oh, he's so smooth. He don't offend us. We like him. He I'm comfortable around him. Should anybody be comfortable around a preacher? Think about that. Do you think people were comfortable around John the Baptist? Was Timothy comfortable around Paul? What did Paul have to tell Timothy over and over and over again?
Preach the word.
Be fearless. You think people are comfortable around Peter? Think about Peter. Here's Peter in 2 Peter 2. And I look at scriptures like this, and I'm sitting here like, man. This guy was rough around the edges. Peter says this, and he says, "For if God's spirit, not the angels, is sin, but cast them down to hell," and all the apostles preached on hell.
Amen.
That was a big part of what they preached. And you won't even hear it anymore. People scared to even mention hell. He says, but God cast the angels down into hell and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after them live ungodly. Now, he said, go preach. He said, you come to church to hear preaching. But we don't want to hear nothing that's going to offend us. Amen. We don't want to hear nothing that's going to challenge us. And we don't want to hear nothing that's going to confront us. And I'm here to tell you, I know what it did for me. Yeah. I was lost in sin. And I had to be confronted out of it. So how can you preach? How can a lost person be saved? How can a lost person be saved if they're not confronted? You know, the job of the preacher is to wake up sleepy souls.
Amen.
Sound the alarm. Listen. Amos chapter 1, and look at verse number 2. It says this. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion. You know, sometimes I get guilty of just being too dogmatic and too loud and too boisterous. But then I read a scripture like this. It said, the Lord will roar from Zion. Zion represents the church. You hear, back in the day, Mount Zion Baptist. And we was talking about Wednesday, you had all these churches that had biblical names. Now the churches have names like malls. Sinners. They're not even going to call church communities. Bridgestone and Cornerstone. And, you know, back in the day, it was different than Grace, Faith Baptist, Grace Baptist. That was it. Now, you don't know if you're going to a mall or you're going to a restaurant or to a church. People go to, they name their churches after restaurants. Why? Because they don't want to offend nobody. The word of God is offensive. And God was telling Jonah, go to Nineveh and offend them. Offend them. And I try every week to offend people. I do. I hope you go out of here mad as a hornet. If you're sinning, say, oh, I don't want to go hear that old bald head man, you know. And I understand why a lot of folks like to see the preachers fall. Because a real preacher talk big. They catch a preacher. They catch a preacher. They string them up. Oh, they call the preacher at the hotel. Everybody want to catch the preacher. Why? Because a real preacher preach big. You hear preachers now, they preach it so timid and so sissified and sissy messages. That's all I hear, little sissy messages. I'm saying, you know, got a sissy church. A lot of folk, but it's sissies. A lot of sissies in the church. Sissies can come to the church comfortable. Sissies, I watch them sit down like girls. You can recognize a sissy a mile away. And they attracted to sissy preachers. They are. They like a little sissified preacher. Smooth and, you know, and twitching, and tight clothes and stuff. Anybody. My pastor is sissy. They tell me what church they go to. I know you go to a sissy church. You don't know nothing. And scared. Scared of your own shadow. Yeah, listen. Man of God in the pews got a hard message. Got a hard message. You know what? Watch this now. Preachers and those who hear sissy preachers gonna be what? Sissies. Some men sit under women preachers. They go to a church and sit under a woman. You know, and people say, oh, yeah, here you go. No. God is a God of order.
Amen.
God is a God of order. God is over man, and man is over woman. And when a woman is over all the male deacons, preach, sister, then you got the first man of the church. I met a guy. I'm a pastor's husband. He thought it was funny. It ain't funny.
No.
My wife, a pastor. Who called her?
Uh-huh.
Well, pastor, here you go with that. See? Go to a sissy church then. Amos said this. The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, from the word of God. And the inhabitation of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Mount Carmel shall wither. You know, the top of Mount Carmel represents fertility and richness and continual blessing. But God said, you know what? When I roar, and if Mount Carmel ain't right, like the one in Youngstown,
watch out.
Okay?
Watch out.
It's going to wither. Because folks ought to be screaming in church. You know, when I look at the news, how can that be? When you read about what happened in Youngstown this week, folks, I mean, when you look at the arrest list of folks getting arrested, folks going to jail, folks ODing on, here are folks just dying in the streets all over us, and the preachers ain't roaring. They not roaring. Nobody roaring. Nobody roaring. Folk just dying and going to hell, and nobody roaring. Nobody roaring. Nobody making a peep. And getting ready for VBS, and getting ready for the pastor's anniversary, and getting ready for Women's Day and Men's Day and Usher's Day and Deacon's Day. And nobody roaring.
Amen.
And there ain't enough room in the jails. Ain't enough room in the morgues. Ain't enough room. They got to make portable morgues. Folks is dying in the streets, dying and going to prison, and the prisons is full, and ain't nobody roaring. Ain't nobody saying nothing. And then the prisoners say something, ain't everybody get mad. It's okay. Let me educate this church. I can do this today. Because, see, God is a God of second chances.
Amen.
Now, turn with me, please, to Matthew 18. Because, see, God is constantly handing out second chances. Okay? Because that's the kind of God we serve. And we're going to have problems within the building. If you don't, something wrong. Okay. Now here's the Lord speaking in Matthew 18, verse 15. He says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," come on, stay with me. Okay, brother, man of God, woman of God, man of God versus man of God, whatever. If a brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
Okay.
All right. Jake, I use Jake. He a boxer. He can take some hits. I use Jake. He doing something stupid. He doing something crazy. He just doing something he shouldn't be doing. And I go to Jake. I say, Jake, what you doing you shouldn't be doing. And Jake say, Pastor, I know I'm stopped. Guess what? It's over with.
That's right.
It's over with.
Amen.
I don't have to go get Dave and say to Dave, now me and you gotta go talk to Jake, because what he doing, if Jackie find out.
Right.
Ooh-wee.
Oh, yeah.
So Jake said, man, I'm done with that. I said, cool. But I'm watching him, right, Claire? I'm watching him now. I still got a responsibility. He just can't say he done with that and keep doing it.
Amen.
Uh-huh. See, true repentance is turning, okay? And then getting back to doing what's right. Repentance ain't just turning all the way around, 360. People say, this is a 360. No, it's a 180.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? Now stay with me. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, Galatians 6:1 says it differently. He said, if a brother is caught in an ark, ye that are what?
Spiritual.
Okay, so if I'm doing the same thing that Jake is doing, I'm in no position to minister to Jake. Okay? If he shall hear thee, hear me what? Understand and change. Hear it don't mean just audibly. Hear me and I understand, and I'm going to make that situation right. Thou hast gained a brother. Okay? But if he will hear thee, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be what? Established. What's God getting at? Because he's a God of second chances. He's now giving Jake a second chance and now a third chance. All right? But if he, verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, the three, tell it unto the church. Tell it to the church.
Amen.
Stay with me. Tell it to the church why. So the church folk won't be running around gossiping and worried about what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Make it plain. He's a brother.
Amen.
But if he neglect to hear the church. Now this is where it gets a little sticky.
Uh-oh.
If he neglect to hear the church. Let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Very controversial right there. What's he talking about? Let's say this. Treat him like a heathen man and a publican. What's a heathen man? You treat him like someone who don't know the word of God. It don't mean you put him out. It means you treat him like somebody who don't know the word of God. You know what you do? You keep preaching. And you keep preaching. And you keep ministering. Because that's a lot of publicans were saved. I didn't say Republican. I said publicans. Remember the publican went to the and the publican and the Pharisee went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee was like, you know me. I tithe everything and I fast twice a week and I'm not like this publican. What did God say? What did the publican say? He said, oh Lord, I'm a beat his breast. Said, oh Lord, I'm a what? A sinner. Okay? And the God said, and he went away. Justified. So what God may be saying, you might have to turn it up a notch when you know you got sinners in the house.
Amen.
And you know you got heathen folks in the house. They're in the right place.
Amen.
They're in the right place. Now, people say, well, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, I hear about you and your 5-point confidence and all that. They don't know what that is. But they say, you real strict. You don't allow homosexuals in your church. You don't allow people in your church that you know fornicating. And listen, let me tell you something. Everybody welcome. That's right. That's right, Ella. Everybody welcome. But you know what? The responsibility won't change.
Amen.
When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh the second time, he didn't change his message.
That's right. Amen.
He didn't. God's message has not changed. I don't care what some of y'all think. His message has not changed. Okay? It doesn't change because your loved one is in that. It doesn't change because you have homosexuals in your family. It doesn't change the word of God.
Amen.
They still need to hear the word of God, or they're going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
They need to be born again. Doesn't change because, well, you know what? God's saying something different today about fornicators. People living, everybody living together. That don't change God's word.
Amen.
Well, you know, everybody shacking up. It does not change God's word.
Amen.
Still going down and go to hell if they don't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
No one want to preach that because that's not nice. That's not nice. It may be the truth, but it's not nice, Jeremy. You tell that to Glorice, boom. Go down and go to hell. I don't want to hear that. That's not nice. You can't tell my daughter that. I tell my daughter that.
Amen.
Okay? And you know what? I'm not telling to be mean. You know, that's the greatest act of love you can tell somebody.
Amen.
That's mean, don't they?
Amen.
That's love. That's love. I say it all the time. Michaela, no. She sit there. If she want to grow up and start fornicating, then you got to get that word in them while they're young.
Amen.
Jill, no. That's what it says. That's so many scriptures. The fear of the Lord is strong. The fear of the Lord is strong. You got to have fear of the Lord in you. Jonah had to have the fear of the Lord in him, and he had to put it in him. How did he put it in him? Put him in that whale belly. Spit him out on dry land. And then Jonah, I don't know where he was at. He might have went back home, or he might have been laying on the sand. And God said, arise and go to Nineveh. Ain't nothing changed. But you know what happened? He didn't try to go to Joppa. He didn't say no. He did what he was supposed to do. As a prophet of God, he did what he was supposed to do. And he went to the city and he cried. That word don't mean he teared up. He preached. He preached bold and confident that God had given him this commission, and he went and did what God told him to do. I guess the question would be, we got a commission. I have one. You have one. Everybody in here, God has given something divine to do. If you saved. If you say, you say, well, Pastor, what's it mean to be saved? Let me explain this. To be saved means that you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? They come by here. You have heard the word of God. It has been preached clearly to you. And if you were unclear about it, you have asked the right questions. What do you mean by that? What do you mean a person must be born again? What do you mean Jesus rose from the dead physically? What do you mean salvation is by grace through faith? What do you mean the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord? What do you mean that Jesus Christ is both God and man? What do you mean that there is only one God? What do you mean when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. What do you mean when you say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you don't understand that, you can't be saved. You're not saved by little tricks and gimmicks, and somebody laid their hands on you, and you start shaking.
Uh-huh.
You're not saved by that.
Amen.
Okay? You're not saved because somebody touched you and you run around a church.
Uh-huh.
You're not saved because you start speaking some psychobabble.
Amen.
You're saved when you hear the word of God and you understand the truth of God's word, and you have receive Jesus Christ as Lord. You receive the Bible, the Word of God.
Amen.
Now you are saved and on your way to heaven.
Amen.
Did the Ninevites hear all that? I bet you they did. I believe when Jonah went to Nineveh, he was explaining to them what salvation was. Know how I know that? Because when he was in the belly of the great fish, in verse number 10 of chapter 2, he said, salvation is of the Lord. Amen. And that's the message God told him to go to Nineveh with. Teach them that salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Same thing Richard Unruly had to get. He come running. Oh, he come running. And he wanted to be saved. He said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And he said, go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me. Why? Because he knew that he had to be number one in this man's life, and his stuff was way high up there. Way high up there. So, you Ninevites. You Ninevites in Youngstown. Okay? Let me tell y'all something. I know. It's Father's Day, and I'm supposed to have Father's Day message, Hallmark message, and tell you, Father, you great. But let me tell you something. You ain't a great father if you don't know the Lord.
Amen.
You ain't a great father. If you don't know the Lord, you're not a great father. You can get to, oh, my kids are in college, and my kids got, he's doing good. He works at a law firm. He's an accountant. He's doing this. He's doing, let me tell you something. He's on his way to hell. Hell will be full of accountants and lawyers and doctors. Okay? So a good father knows the Lord, and a good father has ministered to his children. Let them know how important it is to know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. I hear it all the time. Oh, my kids doing wonderful. Oh, they're graduating. They're going to college. They're doing this. They're doing that. Are they saved? Do they know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior? If they died today, where would they spend all eternity at? That's what makes you a great father. Now we in a church. Okay? Now, you know, you go to the restaurants and you know you got great kids and the kids sitting around with their fathers and they drinking. They at the brew house with their father, take their father out for Father's Day dinner and get drunk with them. Oh, my dad's a great father.
Yep.
And the kids are drunk. Well, he's a great father. Well, y'all had a great father. I hear it all the time. Slobbery and drunks. My dad was there for every baseball game. He was drunk. A womanizing fool. All right, I better stop. Ann's daughter came in today. My mom, that's why he's so crazy. God, let's mess with you.